tomorrow is today. I've watched it happen. I've watched it happen more than once. I've preached, watched them leave and bury them before the next Sunday. I watched it happen. We don't never know. Talked with a fella this past week and talked with him for a good while. And told him the Bible says the next, there's nothing but a step between us and death. And he, I think, really realized it because I couldn't get him to take another step. I said, come on, let's go. He said, no, I ain't moving. And I said, why? He said, I ain't moving right now. I said, well, I said, you think about it. I said, after I walk away, the next step you take today might be the last one. And he stood there for a good while. He didn't want to take another step. He was considering eternity. That's how true it is. Is that true? Well, appreciate the song. Appreciate the singing. Appreciate the family. I'm glad you're here this morning. We'll be in Psalms 57 here in just a moment. And we're going to look at some things. We're going to do our best to help us all in the next few weeks if we'll listen. Now, everything's just like the medicine. All right, you go to the doctor. You can go to the doctor, know that you're sick, go to the doctor, and know good and well he's going to give you a prescription. He may even make an appointment for you for other tests. But if you don't take the medicine or don't go for the test, it ain't going to help you. Now, if you go to a doctor down here, he may not help you anyhow. But if you come to the Lord, he'll help you every time. But you still got to come to the Lord. You got to come to the Lord. Is everybody all right with that? Everybody understands that, all right? All right, well, we'll see how this. We've not used the PowerPoint since last January, all right? So we're going to see how it goes, all right? So we hope it works all right because I want you to listen. Now, pay close attention today because I believe there'll be something here for all of us, all right? Everybody all right? All right, let's pray together. Father, I come just now, and Lord, I'm excited about this year. Now, whether you come this year or not, I'm looking for you. I hope you do. But if you don't, then Lord, you help us to plan like you're not, but live like you are. Lord, I pray that you might help us have the mind that you might come any moment and have the heart to do all we can in the days ahead. Lord, I pray that we might not lose sight of our purpose to bring others to you and to magnify your name. Now, Lord, search my mind, my heart. I don't want nothing in my life that's going to be contrary to your will today. And, Lord, I can't do nothing by myself. I got to have your help. I can't live right unless you help me. Can't think right unless you let me have your mind. And, Lord, I definitely can't preach this morning unless you touch me fresh of the Holy Spirit power. Lord, bless your word. May you give the word increase this morning. May you give it power. And Lord, I pray just now that you might touch us all in a special way. And we're going to praise your name in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look and let's see how things go. Psalm 57:7 is where our text is going to be this morning. All right, Psalm 57:7. It says, my heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. That's a good verse, ain't it? That's going to be our theme verse this year. Amen. All right, that's our theme verse, and you're going to be hearing it. Hopefully you'll hear it every week. If I don't forget to tell you, you're going to hear it every week if I can when I send you out a message. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. All right? Now, so in context, if we look at the context of the Scripture, all right, here's what it means. A heart fixed, said my heart is fixed, all right? A heart fixed and established, or that is firm and sure, all right, is one, to start with, number one, that is assured of its salvation by Christ, rooted and grounded in the love of God through Christ, firmly built on the foundation which is Christ, and has its affection set on Him, Christ and is unmoved. That's what fixed means. All right, that's what fixed means. So when David said here, my heart is fixed, my heart is fixed. Now, we do understand there's another meaning of the word fixed, that you repair something that's broke or tore up or what have you. But the scripture we want to maintain here is we want a fixed heart that is set on the Lord. Now, let's read this meaning again here. A heart fixed and established. This is what a fixed heart is. A heart fixed and established, or that is firm and sure, is one that is assured of its salvation by Christ. Now, I want you to understand, you're not going to have anything fixed or sure until you first are sure of your salvation. That's the first thing. I mean, that's simple, all right? And then it's you're going to have to understand it's by Christ. And then rooted and grounded in love of God through Christ. Now, we preached here a few years ago. What was it? Let us love more in 2024. Wasn't that was all our theme was? Y'all remember them 16 messages on love that we hated? Huh? Right? Remember that? All right. Well, can I tell you, when we're fixed now, when we're the way we're supposed to be, when we're standing true on what the Lord has, then the love of God is going to be shown abroad in our heart and it's going to shine toward others. Yeah. That's just the way it'll be. And then it says, rooted and grounded in the love of God through Christ, firmly built on the foundation, which is Christ. For there's no other foundation that any man lay, but that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth. Does everybody understand that? Everybody still with me? And has its affection. Now, the fixed heart has its affections set on Christ. The affections of this world is not where our affections ought to be. The Bible still says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. We have to be in this world. But my prayer is that we get sick of the world this year. That's my prayer, that we get sick of the world and that we become the pilgrims that we are passing through and loosen our tent pegs up to where we're not wanting to stay here, but we're wanting to go on with Christ. Are we still okay? Because we make plans to build instead of stay in a tent. We're pilgrims passing through. All right? We don't want our home mobile. We want to get somewhere and stay there. Well, that's not in Christ. We still okay. And then that fixed heart is unmoved. I believe the Bible says, stay ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. I believe it all can tell you that your labor is not in vain. Are we okay with that? However, now this is where the rub comes in. All right. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Now we want a fixed heart, but the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. How can we know it? You know, it says, who can know it? Think about that. We want a fixed heart, but the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. That's what the Bible says. Man, we want a fixed heart, but the heart of man is deceitful. It's wicked. Huh? So now what we're going to have to, something's got to be done. Don't you think? We'll have to, how are we going to find this out? Well, if the heart is bad, so therefore must be fixed to be fixed. How's that? Does everybody understand that? The heart is bad, so we're going to have to fix it to be fixed. For our heart to be fixed on God, then it must be fixed where it's in error. Would that be understandable. Everybody still with me? Huh? So this year, we're going to be looking at our heart. All right? We're going to be looking at our heart. Because it ain't mind problems we got. It's heart problems we got. It's heart problems we got. So, getting it fixed and keeping it fixed is going to be our chore this year. What do you allow? There's our thing. Keeping our heart fixed. There you go, Nancy. That rhymes. Keeping your heart fixed in 2026. Hey, Granny, what you sent me on that cap was almost our theme. Huh? Tom, you was almost this morning. Huh? All right, everybody been guessing, want to know. Well, there's your theme. Keeping our heart fixed. Now, that says there's somebody working on it, right? Well, that's keeping it that way. Keeping it fixed. Keeping it fixed that we might be stayed upon the Lord. Can we remember that? Talk to me. I believe we can remember that, all right? So where does it all start? What constitutes a fixed heart? Well, there's going to have to be an examination to see. Somewhere, one day this month, I forget what day it is, I got a blockage in my heart. And they won't be in the hospital several times, but I've been busy. I ain't had time to do it. And they changed my cardiologist, so they've got examinations lined up for me. Now, I don't know whether I hope it's not a true and false. Because I've done fail. All right. So we'll see. We'll see how the tests go. All right. But where does it start? Well, it's going to have to be an examination. Can I tell you that we examine everything we do? Right. Yeah. We do. We examine everything we do. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this: examine yourselves and whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobate. Psalm 26:2 says, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. See, you're going to be examined. You're going to have to examine yourself and come to the truth in your own mind, your own heart, whether or not you're saved and whether or not you're living the way you ought to be living. Now, I can judge you if you want me to, but it ain't going to be right. You know? I may tell somebody they're saved the way they act and the way they got a great demeanor and they're always at church and they're giving all that. I might say, well, yeah, I think you're okay. And then one over here, I might say, you're not okay. And it's vice versa. The one that I think ain't saved is, and the one I think is ain't. See, it ain't up. That's why I can't judge you. I can tell you how you get saved and what you ought to do to be saved. If you've done that, then I can assure you. But I can't judge you. Nor can I tell you how close you're living. Because I'm not with you every day. But I can tell you this. All right? I'll tell you this like I told that young man this week. He said, well, preacher, maybe I am saved. I said, well, if you are saved, I said, you'd be the first to know it. And you just told me you was lost. And I'd be the second to know it because I'd see the change in you because you're a wicked, hellion, blaspheming guy. Amen. He said, huh. See? So if we are living right, we ain't going to have to be questioned, are you living right? Everybody understand that? It'll show. Okay? So examine yourselves this morning and be willing to say, examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Be okay with that? For a heart to be fixed, we must first have salvation. And we know that. That's the first thing. And we're going to make sure you understand that. You're first going to have to be saved. That's the first thing. Your heart will never be fixed where it's broken, where it's in error, unless you're saved. But it'll never be centered upon the Lord if you're not saved. Amen. All right, so salvation has to be first. Romans 10:9-10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe where? In thy what? Heart. That God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the what? heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made into salvation. See, it's a heart thing. Your heart's going to have to be fixed where it's in error, and you're going to have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with your heart, not your head. I believe there's a lot of people that have trusted the Lord in their mind, but they've really never bowed in their heart and trusted Jesus Christ in the very recesses of their soul to let Him save them. Think about that. Amen. Think about that. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, you're not going to make Him Lord. He already is Lord. You're going to have to confess that He's Lord, but you're going to have to believe in your heart. You're going to have to believe in your heart. Examine yourself. Are you saved? Are you? Are you truly saved? Are you truly saved? Yes. Salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, listen to me clearly. There's nothing good you can do to be saved or to stay saved other than to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think you got to work to be saved, you'll go to hell. And if you think you got to work to stay saved, I still think you'll go to hell. Because you're trusting you and not the Lord. Salvation is in the Lord. It's by grace. It's not by works. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Salvation, listen to me, is not healing because you're not sick. People say, well, you got, you're sick in sin. No, you're not sick in sin. You're dead in sin. Amen. Being a drunkard ain't a sickness. Right. It's a sin, an evilness of God. Adultery is not a sickness. It's a sin. Huh? Lying and cheating, them are not illnesses or phobias. Or, hey, listen, it's sin. Right. You understand that? It's not a sickness. You don't need healed. You need saved. Amen. Are you hearing me this morning? Salvation is deliverance because you're perishing. Yes. Understand that. That's why Christ had to come to deliver you. You were perishing. Tessa sings a song that I love so well, and she sung it for me for the last 30 some years. He rescued me. Yeah. Huh? For I was going down for the last time, and He come and He rescued me. He didn't say, well, here's your book, learn to swim.
Right.
Huh? Wouldn't that have been stupid? That ain't a Savior. Here I am drowning, and He comes by on a nice boat and throws me a book and said, learn to swim, you'll be all right. Huh? That's what some people think. Well, you'll just learn. You'll be learn to live right. You'll be right. That don't work that way. Right. Huh? No. What He done, He reached down in the miry pits where I was sinking, jerked me up out of there. Why, God saved me. I just like when Peter was walking on the water and he felt, Lord, save me. He reached down, picked me up, and dried me off, and He's taking me home.
Amen.
Huh? Think about that. That's why we need saved, because we're perishing. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that what? Perish foolishness. But in us who are saved is the power of God. Those that are perished. Listen, the gospel comes to those who are perishing.
Right.
Not those who are sick.
Right.
Now, through the scripture, when Christ came and started His earthly ministry, He healed the sick. Did He not?
Yes.
But He didn't heal the sick and send them on their merry way. The examples we have is He healed them and He told them to do what no more? Because He healed them that they would believe. I don't know of any scripture where he healed Christians.
Hello. Yeah, come on.
You may. I ain't found it yet. I'm looking.
Yeah, come on.
I told Paul, hey, my grace is sufficient.
That's right. That's right.
Now, I didn't say he didn't. That ain't, everybody understand that? I didn't say he didn't heal.
Right.
I said there wasn't no examples of it. Okay? Because we have scripture where it says to pray for the sick and all these things. We have scripture for that. I'm just telling you, the examples was that he healed the unbeliever. Not because that's what made them unbelievers, but he healed them that they might see he was God, that they would trust him as Savior.
Yes.
That's why. Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yes.
Talk to me if you understood what I said. Now don't go from here and say, God said I ate it. God don't heal save people. I never said that. I said that there was no examples in the Gospels that that's what he did.
Right.
That's what I said. Does everybody hear me?
Yes.
All right? He healed the unbeliever that they might see he was God.
True.
Because it's more important to be saved than well.
Amen. 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 Yes, sir.
Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
Talk to me.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 2, 11 and 12 says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision, the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, look at that, having no hope, and without God in the world. That's where people are that's lost. They have no hope in this world. They're cut off. They don't have nothing. They're perishing. And that's why it's so important that we preach salvation. That's why I preach about being saved. That's why we talk to people about being saved. Because there's nothing more important than you knowing that you have salvation.
Right.
There's nothing more important. Nothing more important than that. Because that's the foundation. That's the first thing you got to have a fixed heart is saved.
Yes.
We okay with that?
Yeah.
Are you saved? Examine yourself. Are you saved? Have you been saved? When was you saved? Where was you saved? Are you sure you're saved?
Yes.
Are you saved because somebody told you, or are you saved because you know it?
No.
You know? Think about that.
Yeah.
Are you saved because mommy said you was? Daddy said you? Or are you saved because you know it, because you believed it?
Yeah,
see, it doesn't make a difference. See, I'm afraid a lot of times we're trying to get people to live a Christian life that's not a Christian.
Right.
And that's why the struggle is so hard.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying because you're struggling, you're lost. Don't get me wrong now. Listen to me. I'm saying that's why some. Now, if you're the some, okay. Is everybody listening to me this morning?
Yes.
All right. But I'm just saying that we're given everything in that book on how to live a godly life. That's what it says in the scripture. That we've been given everything. That we have everything that's necessary to live a godly life. And if you're having a problem living a godly life, but you still want to live an ungodly life, and there's not been no change, you're lost.
Yes, amen.
You're lost. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
Now, having no hope, that's why we need saved. You must believe you're lost, unsaved. You must believe that. You must believe that Christ alone is your hope. This is faith in God. This is how you say that Christ is your only answer. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus church membership. It's not Christ plus living right. It's not Christ but turning over a new leaf. It's not Christ plus changing my habits. It's not Christ plus me getting rid of my friends. No, no. It's Christ alone.
Yes.
In Christ alone, my hope is found.
Yes.
Only in Christ.
Amen.
Huh? You must believe that Christ alone is your hope. And when you do that, you must believe by faith that Jesus Christ died for you in your place and is risen from the dead. Huh? Romans 10:19, that if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus, that God has raised him from the dead. Think about that. You gotta believe. Boy, you say, well, don't say you believe he died. Boy, you couldn't have raised him from the dead if he hadn't have died. I mean, that's common sense. You can't get raised from the dead if you didn't die to get dead. Okay? So that all comes in there together. Are we okay with that? Has anybody don't understand me? Anybody don't understand me? Okay. Are you saved? Talk to me. Are you saved?
Yes.
Are you truly saved?
Yes.
Huh? Have you been saved?
Yes.
All right. We still okay?
Yes.
Are you trusting Christ alone to get you to God?
Yes.
You say, yeah, I'm saved, preacher, but this is what I believe. Ooh. You're going to go your way.
Right.
He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not Christ plus tongues. It's not Christ plus baptism. It's not Christ plus anything else.
Amen.
It's Christ. Are you saved?
Yes.
Have you been saved?
Yes.
Are you trusting Christ alone to get you to God? Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Now remember, a fixed heart is a heart fixed and established, or that is firm and sure, and one that is assured of its salvation by Christ, rooted and grounded in the love of God through Christ, firmly built on the foundation, which is Christ, and has its affections set on Him, Christ, is unmoved.
Amen.
We okay? Then our heart to be fixed, we must have, secondly, sincerity. You must first have salvation. Second, you must have sincerity. Now, it's not I'm sincere and believing something else for salvation. Notice sincerity comes after salvation. Salvation is faith in Christ alone. Is everybody with me there?
Yes.
Now then after He saves you. Now we're wanting our heart fixed and stuck in there like glue. Right? We're wanting our hearts fixed and unmovable.
Right?
Is everybody with me? Huh? So we're going to have to be sincere about some things. Look here, Matthew 22:37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. That's what we need to do. We need to be sincere. We're saved. Now let's be sincere. Let's go all the way with it.
Yeah.
Let's love the Lord with all we got.
Amen.
You want to have your heart fixed to where it's unmovable? Right there where it's supposed to be? Then love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's what the Bible says. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Well, that's in the New Testament and Old Testament both, huh? Amazing, isn't it? You know what that means? We done read two verses. You know what it means? That we ought to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might. Why? We need to be sincere about us trusting Christ and want our heart to be fixed, standing where it ought to be, unmovable. Huh? Sincere. Does that make sense to anybody? Deuteronomy 11:1. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep His charge and His statutes. Wait a minute. That added a little bit, didn't it? We ought to love the Lord thy God and then we ought to keep His charge and His statutes. Well, we're going to have to keep that book. We're going to have to live what that book says.
Yes, sir.
Ain't you glad it's sincere after salvation? Because you can't keep this book before you're saved. And the only reason you can keep the book after you're saved, because He moves in and helps you keep it.
Yes.
We okay?
Yes.
See, that's why sincerity don't come first.
Amen.
Salvation's got to come first. Is everybody with me?
Yes.
But then there's got to be a little bit of It's not, I want to try to avoid the word work, but the Bible does say in Philippians that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But that don't mean to work it to get it. It's to work it because to work it as we got it.
True.
We okay? Talk to me.
Yes.
All right. Says the. Therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments. How long? Psalm 97:10. Ye that love the Lord, look at them next two words. You'll never stand up true unmoved if you don't hate evil. You can't hold evil in one hand, the Lord in the other. You can't do that. You can't do that.
Right.
Everybody with me?
Yeah.
You can't do that. You're going to have to hate the evil. Huh? He preserves the souls of his saints. Ain't that a blessing? Let's go ahead and read that again. He preserves the souls of his saints.
Yeah.
Everybody ought to holler hallelujah for that. Let's say it again. He preserves the souls of his saints.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, would you rather him keep it or you want to keep it? I tell you what we'll do. All those who want the Lord to keep it, raise your hand. All those who want to try to keep saved yourself, you raise your hand. And we'll see. You come and see me next week and tell me if you still say. In fact, just tell me tonight how many times you lost before dark. Because if you can lose her, you'll lose it. I was going to tell you now, if you can lose it, you'll lose it. And quickly, you'll lose it quickly.
Yeah.
Right there, here it is again. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all the heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. What do you think? Think we can have a fixed heart if we do that? I believe we get saved and our hearts fixed from the era and we got saved and then we be sincere. I believe we can have a fixed heart like David said. Oh, that my heart is fixed. Oh, my heart is fixed. Huh? We okay? Psalm 57:7. My heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Back me up. Remember, a fixed heart is a heart fixed and established, or that is firm and sure, is one that is assured of its salvation by Christ, rooted and grounded in the love of God through Christ, firmly built on the foundation which is Christ, and has its affection set on Him, Christ, and is unmoved. All right, now, our heart to be fixed, we must have thirdly. The third thing is submission. We had salvation first. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Sincerity. All right. Now we have submission.
Yes.
Submission, we're going to have to give in. We're going to have to put in place. We're going to have to back off. We're going to have to maybe let Him. What do you think about that? Everybody look at me. Me or you, neither one is capable of doing anything right by ourselves.
Right. Right.
We can't. We can't. Without Christ, we have nothing. Jesus said himself in John 15, without me, you can do nothing. You know what that means? Without him, we can do nothing. It means exactly what it says. All right? So we need the Lord. But we need to submit to Him. All right, sometimes, all right, I got the Lord, but can I tell you, I don't always submit. I don't know about y'all, but sometimes I got some good ideas. And I explained to the Lord that He's missed it. Now, I don't come out and say, God, you missed it. I just go ahead and act like you did.
Yeah, that's
how we are. See, I'm not stupid enough, and I'm going to say, Lord, you gummed up on this one. No. I just go ahead and live like it. I just go ahead and live my way. I go ahead and choose my road. Anybody here ever choose their own way? Huh? Do we got any hard-headed people in here? Huh? Go ahead and raise your hand first. It'll be a good time for everybody to be honest. And everybody just raise up both hands and both feet. Huh? Might even jump up and run around the church a time or two. I mean, that's how guilty we are when it comes to being hard-headed, especially the women. I got everybody's attention that time, didn't I? I got everybody's attention that time. I seen elbows. I seen husbands laugh, but they ain't allowed to laugh. We're preaching on the heart for the next month or so, so y'all get ready. Submission. We can't do any of this by ourselves. Listen to me. We got to have the Lord. To be saved, you got to have the Lord. To serve and love Him, we must have the Lord. Are you listening to me? Our cry to God, our plea to God, our desire from God will have to be. Now listen to me. This is it all sums up pretty simple on submission. Psalms 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Right there is going to be the key. Right there needs to be our plea this morning, is that we plea unto God, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me. If you want to have a fixed heart this morning, we're going to have to get down to this submission that we depend on the Lord to do this very thing. Are you hearing me this morning? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That ought to be my plea this morning. You want a fixed heart? That ought to be your plea this morning. If you're not saved this morning, you ought to cry out to God, oh God, save me. And He's going to give you a brand new heart. He's going to give you a brand new start. And then you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your soul. And you hate evil. And you live for Him, huh? But every day, you're going to have to depend on Him. And create in me a clean heart, oh God. And renew a right spirit in me. And you that are saved this morning, to have a fixed heart, we're going to have to ask God. That ought to be our plea right there. Is that simple enough this morning? Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is a true verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine understanding. This is submission right here. Huh? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. We're going to have to trust Him this morning. All right, I encourage you to let that be your plea. Jeremiah 29:13 says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with what? We're talking about the heart this morning. We're talking about a fixed heart. A fixed heart. Fixed in repair where it's broken in error, but fixed in where it stands and don't move. That's my fixed position, my fixed point. Huh? Everybody understand that this morning? What will you do? What will you do? See, now it comes to us. What will you do? What will you do? Will we cry out, oh God, create in me a clean heart that I might have a fixed heart? Huh? Psalm 57:7, my heart is fixed, oh God, my heart is fixed. I wonder, now I understand the context of the scripture, like I said, but I wonder now if that's in there twice because it got fixed and then it is fixed. Huh? It says, my heart is fixed because it was in error. My heart is fixed. Oh God, now my heart's fixed. My heart's fixed, now my heart's fixed. My heart's fixed. Now my heart's fixed. Is that simple enough? Huh? You come back tonight, it'll be simpler than that. Come back next Sunday morning, it'll be simpler than that. It's because the Bible is not complicated when it deals with the heart. Huh? Are we okay with all that this morning? Keeping our heart fixed. In 2026. Cheryl, go to piano. Clark, you come on. Search me, O God. Search me. Cleanse me. We done sung it this morning. Let's sing it again. I'm going to ask you this morning. You want a fixed heart? Well, let's fix your heart first. you want a fixed heart, let's fix your heart. Your heart need fixed this morning. Won't you come and just tell God, God, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get in this thing and you fix my heart because I want a fixed heart. I want to get in there where you want me to be. Let's start this year out right. Fix my heart. Oh, Father, speak to us, I pray. Help us to be what we're supposed to be. In Jesus' name, amen.